I'm your host, Garth Braithwaite, and this is Web Friends. In downtown Las Vegas, there's this wonderful co-working location called Work in Progress. And in this episode, I sit down with Mark Johnson in a conference room in this Work in Progress location, where Mark works for an excellent startup called Wedgies. Before we get into the interview, though, I want to tell you a little bit about the circumstances in which I met Mark for the first time, so you can kind of understand him a little bit better and where he's come from. So in 2009, I was feeling unimpressed with the state of the tech industry in Las Vegas. There weren't many interesting places to work, and I really didn't feel like designers and developers were getting much respect in the industry. So I packed up my family, and we headed to greener pastures out of the state. A little over a year later, we had the chance to move back, and I was a bit shocked by the change in the tech community. There were a whole bunch of startups popping up. There was money coming in to rebuild and renovate the old downtown, specifically for the purpose of attracting tech talent and beautifying the city. And all of this was part of this effort called the Downtown Project. So I started attending meetups, getting to know some of the startups. What struck me most about them was some of the branding. There were these fantastic brands on these little startups that were just popping up. I wasn't even interested in all of the projects. Some of them I didn't even completely understand what they did, but I loved some of their branding. Well, it turns out all of my favorite designs were being done by a single person, which was Mark Johnson. And on top of this great startup work that he had done, he also helped foster this design community in Las Vegas. He started a group called Design Avengers, which is by far my favorite reason to go downtown. It's the best design meetup I've attended or been a part of. So now that you know a little bit about Mark, let's jump to the interview right after a quick word from our sponsors.
This episode of Web Friends is sponsored by Media Temple. When you need to host WordPress, either for yourself or for your clients, you want something fast and reliable. Media Temple's new managed WordPress hosting comes with unlimited bandwidth, 3 WordPress installs, a one-click staging environment, automatic WordPress core and security updates, and their signature 24/7 support. Go to mediatemple.net, use the promo code GOODSTUFF, and get 25% off your first month. WebFriends is also sponsored by Campaign Monitor. Sending email campaigns doesn't need to be a chore. Campaign Monitor makes it fun, easy, and beautiful. Try your hand at their template builder and have a responsive email template ready in 60 seconds. Campaign Monitor also lets you offer their services to your clients at your prices. And if you need help creating better emails, Campaign Monitor just released a free ebook with their top 100 email campaigns of 2013. Go to campaignmonitor.com and get started today. A huge thanks to our launch sponsors, Media Temple and Campaign Monitor, for supporting Good Stuff and Web Friends.
Okay, Mark. So, first question, right? Mm-hmm. What advice have you received while you've been, you know, being a designer through school, through your profession, through the companies you worked for? What advice have you received that's kind of stuck with you?
I thought about this, but I still don't know if I have like the best answer ever. Like, I think the one that stands out most is advice that I kind of didn't take.
Okay.
Which was, when I was in New York, I was working at Pentagram, which I was like super lucky and fortunate to be there. I was like, these guys clearly did not like read everything. Like somehow I got through the like their fine tuned selection process. Yeah. They're like, let's let this weirdo in. And so I was there, but I wasn't having a super good time. And so I was thinking about leaving. And this is only like 3 months in. Or, well, really less than that. I was like 1 or 2 months in. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, all the things I set up for before getting there were like, finish college, go to get a job. But then, like, I didn't have anything planned after that. Yeah. So I was like, do I just stay at the place where I'm scared? And I emailed a bunch of my professors that I had at SCAD. I was like, I don't know what I should do. I feel like I can't leave. Like, that would be dumb, right? And so I don't want to do that, but I don't know what to do. And they just all told me, like, I emailed at least like 2 or 3 of them. Yeah. And they all told me the exact same thing, which was just stay there and just like get that on your resume for like 6 months.
Okay.
And I didn't do that.
So it was the sort of environment where the opportunity was awesome, mm-hmm. but the work environment just wasn't making Mark happy.
Yeah, sort of. I guess, I don't know. I was super appreciative of my time there. And yeah. like everybody I worked with there was amazing. So yeah. it was really more like, I don't think I was ready to be there at that time.
Okay.
Like if I was there now, I think I would be totally, like I'd be prepared because like I'm not as terrified. Like at the time I drove from Savannah to Las Vegas and then got like packed everything and then got on a plane from Las Vegas to New York where like I'd only been before for like a couple hours. So I'm like, hooray, figure out a city that I'm terrified of.
Did you have a place to live ahead of time? Like,
yeah, I was all set up, so it was okay. Like I was a little worried because I didn't know like for sure if I would be staying where I thought I would be staying. And but I had a, like a really great friend that helped me out and I worked with there. So that worked out okay.
Yeah.
But it was more like I didn't know what I was doing and I was a little scared of like student loan debt and then paying that off in New York. I was like, how am I going to even deal with that? And I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
No, and it is scary. I've spent some time in New York and looking at going out to New York and it is scary. Like you look at the cost of how much they're willing to pay you at most places and then like cost of living. Like how do people live here?
Yeah.
Like I don't know how they survive on some of that stuff. There's got to be a ladder that you climb where it makes sense at some point, but I didn't see it. So.
Yeah, I was equally confused. Yeah. I was like, well, I guess I could just stay here and hope for the best.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I wouldn't have died if I did that. I'd be fine.
Yeah.
But I guess that's kind of what I took from that advice that I didn't take, which was like, turns out if I don't always take it, I can still not die.
Even if you go against everything that everyone's telling you, you might be okay still.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, my buddy Matt that I was like living with and working with there, I was like talking to him about it the whole time. And he's trying to like just kind of calm me down and be like, dude, you're okay. Everything's going to be okay. You just got to go through this. This is how this is.
Now, he was in New York?
Yeah.
So he'd been living there for a little bit. He might have already had a freak out.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know exactly how his experience was before, but he had interned previously there. And it was, I think, the previous summer or something like that. So he had like some experience there. And like he grew up in the New England area or whatever. So he knew that part of the country better than I did for sure.
Okay.
And he's all around like a good solid dude that like can do whatever he wants. Like he can just handle it.
Yeah.
But he was there before. And so he kind of like helped me figure out what to do once I got there. So
yeah,
like if he wasn't there, I'd be like, help me please.
I can't imagine moving to a city like across the country where you know no one. So yeah, probably good that you had at least a friend.
Yeah. I mean, I had other friends there, but it was like not, I still would have been basically alone. Like they would be living in Brooklyn or something and I would see them. I was Upper East Side.
Okay.
Which I didn't care for that area that much, but it was a place and it was where I lived. So it worked out.
So you went from SCAD. That's where you went to school for what was it? Graphic design?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you came back to Vegas, flew straight out there, and then after it wasn't working out, you came back to Vegas?
Yeah.
So you have family here, right?
I do, yeah. Okay. So at the time I was working on, well, I'd been working on this like little side project with my buddies here that I went to high school with who studied computer science. So I was like working on like the visuals for this like website that we were building together.
Okay.
Which like back in the day was called Fire Pilot. It was a stupid name, but it was like something we were playing with in high school. Like, and we just kind of kept working on it throughout college.
Did you say Fire Pilot or Fighter Pilot?
Fire
Pilot. So a pilot that's like on fire.
Yeah. Nothing made sense.
Okay. All right. it's a passion project. Doesn't need to make sense.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, like when we started building this, like MySpace was like the biggest thing we knew about and like Facebook was just coming out.
Okay.
And the thing we liked about Facebook at the time was that like it was like your own little group of friends. So we effectively just made this little tiny forum slash social network, if you want to call it that. Like only the people we knew we invited and you could talk and post pictures and we talked about Age of Empires and stupid stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you came back, you kind of threw yourself into that a little bit?
Yeah. So that was kind of why I was coming back.
Okay.
Was I was talking to the guys and Mark C, who was like our main dev guy in particular, was like, yeah, dude, like just come out here and we'll like work on it full time and it'll be good times. I'm like, okay, let's do it.
So it wasn't just get me out of New York. It was also, hey, there might be this opportunity to go full time at something that, I don't know, that you've been kind of passionate about or that you cared about.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it was kind of weird because when I left Vegas for college, I just kind of was done with Vegas. I was like, cool, Savannah. Yeah. Oh, there's a coastal city. I had no idea. I didn't care. I was like, cool, it's not here. Wonderful. And then it turned out to be awesome. So yeah. That worked out. But I was just really so bored of Vegas and everything was like so artificial and stucco. And I was like, God, get me out of here.
Yeah.
But then once I left, then I was like, oh man, I miss mountains. There's like, things are 24 hours. Like, I don't, what, this place closes at 5? What's your problem?
That's so weird.
Get back to work.
Yeah.
But
now Vegas has changed quite a bit from, I don't know, probably the time that you went to SCAD till now. Like, how's the tech industry now? And what does that have to do with you? Like, what's keeping you here?
Good question.
Mark gets up and looks.
I don't know. It's still pretty exciting. That's probably the biggest part. I mean, growing up, it was like casino industry or no industry. As far as like I knew, like
yeah.
I didn't know that like local businesses were a thing. I was like, KFC is where I go to food. Like, I didn't know that there were people who had things that they made. It was like totally different.
Yeah.
But now there are way more of those kinds of things, or at least I'm aware of them and seek them out. So it's, to me, like the thing that's exciting about Vegas is that there are a lot of people who kind of don't know what they're doing that are doing what they're doing.
Okay.
And that's exciting.
Yeah. All kind of figuring it out together a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're not like a New York or San Francisco or whatever, and it's pretty clear. And we have like so much, like such a different value set. Like, we don't preserve things, we blow them up. Like, there's no reason to keep this building. It's 12 years old. Clearly, this is behind the times.
But level it and build a new one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the Sahara is becoming a totally new building, which is kind of crazy to me. That, like, that's, I feel like the first time that something is.
Think of a casino is being renovated to that level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. In fact, all the if you haven't been to Vegas, all of the cross streets in Vegas, they're all named after casinos, but half of the casinos have been demolished. So you've got all these streets, and you're like, why is that named that? That doesn't make any sense. You've got Tropicana, Flamingo, and these are not the big casinos anymore. Like, they're not important to downtown necessarily. Anyway, it's just interesting how Vegas has changed, yet there are certain things that are kind of like historical landmarks of the past. But it's like 20 years ago. It's not even like that far.
And back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Vegas is a little bit weird in that respect. But so how did you get started then with like the downtown project? Like, what is that? And what's your involvement, or what was your involvement with it?
I kind of got involved on accident. I mean, I shouldn't say on accident, on purpose, but kind of unaware of the context.
Okay.
Sort of. I don't know. Maybe I just have bad listening skills. At the time, we had like the Jelly going on, which was like a small tech meetup at the like June 2011 or something like that. And it was happening like every other week. And so you'd meet up with a bunch of other like tech people, which at the time was mostly people that worked at Zappos.
Yeah.
With a couple other people sprinkled in, and then it got a little bigger and a little bigger. And so through that, like, it was just kind of exciting because it felt like you're on the ground level with a bunch of other people who are like trying to make stuff happen. And so through that, I met Zach Ware, who's one of the guys who's heavily involved in Downtown Project and was at Zappos as well. And he was like, yeah, we're thinking about doing this Downtown Project thing, something, something. Words that are probably important that I like was like, yeah, cool, you're doing a thing, yeah, let's do that. And then he's like, yeah, we could use like a logo or whatever. I'm like, okay, let's do that, cool. And at the time I was just like, I'm just making a thing for my friend who I think is cool and is doing cool stuff. And then I'm like, oh, okay, oh, it's a $350 million project that's investing all this money into downtown Las Vegas through like tech, real estate, startups.
So where does that money come from? $350 million?
Powerball lottery. No, it's all, I mean, it's heavily tied to Tony Hsieh, who's the CEO of Zappos. And it seems to be mainly his, like, passion project. And so his overall idea is to take, rather than building, like, an insular campus, like a Googleplex or an Apple campus, it's making downtown Las Vegas the campus for Zappos, kind of.
Okay.
So they bought, like, the old City Hall building, and they're renovating, like, all the stuff all around downtown Las Vegas. But it's, like, accessible to everybody, not just Zappos employees.
Yeah.
Which makes total sense and is pretty awesome and is, like, a massive game of SimCity that he gets to play, which is pretty cool.
I'm just worried when the tornado comes through.
Yeah. I'm worried about the giant spider monster thing.
Yeah.
With the pointy legs.
Because you can only play the game so long without, like, making that happen.
I mean, you get bored at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't have the cheat codes anymore.
So right now we're sitting in work in progress, and that is part of this downtown project, right?
Yeah.
Some of the funding for this came out of that. So what other things are going into it? You've got like what's the big hotel that's being redone? Well, you got the Grand Goldsmith. Right. Is the Grand part
of that? That's not downtown project.
No. Okay. But it is adjacent to downtown project.
I mean, if nothing more, I mean, Downtown Project is doing a ton of stuff on their own, but they've definitely helped catalyze like any sort of action happening down here in downtown Las Vegas.
Container Park?
Yeah, Container Park just opened like a couple months ago, June, July, August-ish.
Yeah, and it's kind of a shopping center. It's like an outdoor mall, but it's kind of small, but it's all made out of shipping containers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they do like live music, and there's coffee stuff and food and all that kind of goodies.
And weird motorized trikes that they're...
Yeah.
Yeah. And then right next to that is like the Learning Village.
Yep.
And we had an event there just a month ago or so, right?
A couple of weeks, I think.
So tell me about how that happened, because you were a part of that as well.
Well, Porter, the CEO of Wedgies, who I work on Wedgies with.
I mentioned that in the intro.
I'm sorry. Porter and like I and the team have like liked Aaron Joplin for a really long time. And like when we were first working on the branding for Wedgies, like we had this list of people who we thought we would be like. We're like, these are the people that if Wedgies was a person, this is that person. And Joplin is on this list of people. So
you guys really need to swear just a little bit more if Wedgies is a draft.
Oh, yeah. Well, clearly we're missing out. Well, you don't see the comps. You should see the error states on some of our messaging that don't go live.
Nice.
But anywho, so Porter reached out to him and just said hi, and Joplin responded. And we've been like talking to him back and forth for a couple weeks, and then finally got him out here after a little while, which was awesome.
Yeah, it went really well. And then the next day, though, so that was Porter kind of helped that happen, and it was part of this other event that I went to and listened to the other speakers, but I was really there for Joplin. But then the next day, we had him come back again. How'd you talk him into that?
Well, when we first were talking to him, I was like, I sent him a couple emails. Well, it was like, this is what we're thinking. Like, day one, like, you do a talk, and then the next day, we'll just do like a little workshop thing. And we're thinking maybe it's like this Design Avengers meetup that we have that's like a feedback session, and it'll be like that. Like, you can show your stuff if you want to show stuff, and we'll try to give you feedback, and you can give us feedback.
Yeah,
and
I'm even though give Joplin feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just a guy. I mean, he is an awesome guy. Don't get me wrong. But that's like one thing that I definitely felt like I learned in New York is like, these people are just people. Like, if I was like, told you like, do you know who this guy is? He's the number one real estate salesman in Western Virginia. You'd be like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I feel like Joplin is probably like that, or really any like design celebrity is like that for others.
Yeah.
But which is what I try to contextualize when like stuff like the workshop was mentioned. It's like, he could maybe use feedback. Probably not, because he's really good, but you know.
Yeah.
And so he was like, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
So it was pretty awesome.
It was an awesome session. And no one actually, well, I, you know what, to be honest, I did take some stuff up to him afterwards. I actually showed him Web Friends, and we talked about it for a little bit. And someone else brought up a poster that they were working on and got some feedback from Joplin. Like, there was just some cool stuff that came out of it. So it was a neat experience. It's not something that you usually get. Like, seeing Joplin speak or those sort of designers speak, it's kind of normal. You can go and see that at a conference or whatever. But, hey, let's sit down and let's talk about stuff that we're working on. That was a bit of a unique experience.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And just an interesting insight into his process, which I was really excited to see.
So tell me a little bit about your reasoning for Design Avengers. Why did you start that?
I felt lonely. So cold. So alone.
So you're the only designer on Wedgies, right? So being a part of a startup, that's pretty common. If you have a designer, it's a designer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've been a lone wolf for quite a while on these little projects.
Yeah, because before this, I was working on ALU, and ALU, I was all alone. I mean, I worked with an amazing developer who got design and was like super cool to work with, but it's a lot different when you're having like the design critique versus like the developer critique.
Yeah.
Because functionality takes into a huge account rather than like experience or aesthetic or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So basically, I talked to Alex Coleman from Remger, who's like another design friend. And was like, dude, maybe we should just, do a little meetup and get some other design friends and just talk. Like, I hate structure and things that are like massive for these meetups because it's unsustainable.
Yeah.
So instead it was like, it's just a feedback session, not super unlike you would get in like college when you're like going over your project that you're working on.
Yeah.
This is my packaging design for chocolate or whatever.
That will never actually get printed. So Rumger, you also did the branding for Rumger, right?
Yeah.
And I really like your stuff. So you need to make your website show that.
I have to have time. I'm just the worst. I feel like every time I do this, I mean, I updated my website, which is the first thing I've done in like 5 years, but nice. I took away all of my work in doing so. But all my work was like college work, so it was a little weird. I was like, this is what I used to do 5 years ago.
Here's my fake work
that
I got graded for.
I hope you clicked on the designer link because it goes to a pretty good GIF, I think. It's my favorite GIF.
So it's markjohnsoncc.com?
It's markjohnson.cc.
.cc. That's right. Okay. So go there and click on designer and get the GIF.
So that's all I'm here for.
Yeah. So you started the Design Avengers. Now, it's a little bit of a unique group. Most meetups I've been a part of, they like, we're going to have this topic and we're going to come in and we're going to have a speaker come and tell you about this topic. Or we might bring in a sponsor who's going to come in and talk about stuff. Like, it's different than Design Avengers. So talk a little bit about how meetings go with Design Avengers.
You show up and then talk. It's pretty casual. I mean, you just kind of have some work or you want to see other people's work and give them some feedback. It's more or less just a good group of like design friends that can feel comfortable showing work around, that like no one's signing NDAs because no one's hooked. Like, there's no time for NDAs. There's no time for me to even talk about what you just did to someone else later. It's just like, get your work out there, see how it is before like you show it to like users and find out that it's awful because of the reasons that you were afraid of.
Yeah. But I'm just going and I'm mining all of these great ideas because there's no NDA and I'm just going to steal them all.
That's
going to be brilliant.
That's what I was hoping for, as long as I'm in this cut.
All right. So things that I really like about the meeting that I've noticed, one, most people come to show. Like, they don't come to sit back and listen. Like, they come to participate. Now, that's not entirely true. There's a lot of people. There's times where I've come and I'm like, I don't have anything. I just want to hang out with you guys. But everyone kind of shares a little bit. Nobody tries to monopolize. It doesn't turn into, oh, this is so-and-so's meeting. Yet, when a topic becomes interesting, no one's mad that it kind of goes off on that. I don't know. It seems very consensually courteous and just okay. Like, everyone's all right with it. So,
yeah. I mean, we debated last week. I tried to not have the meeting. I think it was last week. I was like, I don't know. People are out of town. Let's just not. And then people still showed up.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, still cool. But it was kind of cool that people just like want to come and talk about design stuff. Or like last week we talked about Windows Phone, or I got grilled by Terrence Carroll, who is amazing and a really cool developer, on why I like Windows Phone versus why I don't like iOS. Just a good discussion. It's fun.
Terrence is one of those people that I will always want to get on this podcast, and he will never let me, I don't think.
He's got to.
I've got.
He's the best.
I absolutely. So as far as like web friends, he is one of the best. So, and I know he listens to the podcast, so now he knows. Now he knows how I feel about him.
Everyone wants to hear.
All right. So you've got your startups that you've been a part of with the branding, and not just branding. I talk about the branding in the intro, but not just the branding, but the user experience design. Like, you are full time on Wedgies. Anything that's done, you're designing it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, unless some developer is just going off and going rogue.
I mean, most of the stuff.
Most of the stuff.
Email templates, whatever you want to call them. Choosing the GIFs for the emails we send.
Animated GIFs in emails?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you've got the startup work, then you've got just the community involvement. You talked about being a part of Jelly and then starting Design Avengers. And then there's a new thing that you guys are trying out too.
Oh, the homebrew stuff.
Homebrew.
Yeah, which I've been slow on this month. But we tried it last month and it was pretty good, I thought. It's sort of supposed to be like what the Jelly used to be like when it first started, kind of, which is just like show up in a room with people. That's like all I want, really. Like, no name tags, no business cards, no looking for technical co-founders, none of that.
No looking for funding.
No looking for funding. Just no pitching if you can avoid it. Yeah. I mean, you can come and get help from people if you're like, man, I got to work on my pitch. If somebody could listen to me, that would be cool. That's cool.
Yeah, but that's funny. When you say it like that, nobody minds pitching if you're like, hey, I've got to figure out a way to pitch this. Mm-hmm. Can you help me? As opposed to, sit down, I've got an idea to share with you. Yeah. We're looking for a technical co-founder.
Just light me on fire.
If you haven't been a part of the startup community, that's like the worst phrase to hear. If you are a developer or even a designer, if they just come up to you, because what that usually means is, I have an idea. I have no idea how to code. Hey, you know how to code. I know. Why don't you code my idea for me? You might get 10% as a co-founder of this terrible idea. So you spend a lot of time telling people your idea by itself is worthless. You should probably learn how to code if you want to make this happen.
Yeah.
And they don't take that well usually. So, yeah. So anyway, Homebrew is trying to bring together the right kind of people without the wrong kind of spin to it. It's all good.
I mean, it's just mainly trying to get that, the amount of people necessary into a room. I don't know if necessary is a good word, but like, I just want a lot of people to be in the same place together, because that's how like a lot of cool things end up happening. Like we've talked about stuff in the Design Avengers meetups, like, would it make sense to have a UX meetup where we do this thing and it's like super specific? And I think it's like a super good idea, but in the Avengers meetup, it's like, I don't know, 20 people max, I think, that we've had. And something like Homebrew could hopefully be more than that, like in the 100 to 200 range, if like enough people show up, and like that's enough people to determine whether or not that makes sense to be its own thing. And you can have enough people actually go and do that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to start all that stuff. I just want to get all the people in the room and eat pizza or do whatever.
No, it's totally true though. The more people that you can get together with half ideas, eventually good ideas get formed together. And it's not fun to do things alone. You don't want to wake up and be like, you know what I want to do? I'm going to start a meetup. Just me. I'm sure I'm going to get a ton of people. It'll be awesome. But like you said, you grabbed Alex Coleman, and two people starting a meetup is a lot different.
Yeah, it feels a lot better. Like, you feel like you're not alone, and it makes sense, and you're not as crazy.
Yeah.
If you're doing it alone, you feel crazy all the time, I think.
Yeah. So second question. That was just question number one. That was a good question. Good advice. The advice was, don't always listen to advice. That's my takeaway. If someone says, hey, stick around, and you're like, screw it, you will still survive potentially. So, all right. So number two, has there ever been something that you wish, hey, I want to go back and tell past Mark that he needs to do this? Like, are there things that you wish that you had learned that you've kind of learned the hard way?
Kind of. Yeah. Well, absolutely.
No, everything's easy.
Yeah. My life is great. And I think I've done everything right this entire time. I'm trying to pick one.
So let's use it in this context. Imagine a person just graduated from SCAD today, and they have a similar opportunity that you have. What advice would you tell them as they're deciding to be an adult and get a job or whatever it might be? Like, what advice would you give them that would have saved you a little bit of heartache if you had gotten?
It's hard. I think maybe just know that you don't know everything. And be okay with that. Like, this was more pertinent to me when I was in high school than college. I think when I was in college, I sort of figured out that I was dumb.
Okay.
Like, in high school, I had like a little, I worked at like an ad firm, and I was always upset that they wouldn't give me like real work in quotes.
Yeah.
And because I was like sending like bills to clients or like doing like small stuff. Like, when I got to play with an illustrator, it was super fun, but I was like a high school student working in an ad firm, and I didn't like realize that is like not normal.
Yeah.
So I was super lucky to be there anyway, and getting an idea of how that entire system works. So I felt like way more comfortable going into college and going into like working with others after that and other firms. So if I could have just been like, shh, just listen to the people who are don't know what they're doing, that would have been good.
Okay, so maybe go back and tell yourself that you didn't know as much as you thought you knew, and that you should be grateful for the opportunity that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a really good advice for new designers, and probably senior designers as well. The best people to work with are people who realize that they can't do everything by themselves. That's really good advice.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and wrap things up here in a second. But I wanted to tell people to go check out Wedgies. Go ahead and tell, I've mentioned that you work for Wedgies, but we haven't said anything about what Wedgies is. It's a dinosaur who goes around and pulls underwear over your head.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So Wedgies is a real-time polling service, basically. We do real-time polls for, like, basically driving user engagement. So somebody like USA Today might write an article about, I don't know, this whole Crimea thing and ask your opinion on it. And so you would just place your vote and have a, like, nice experience doing said thing without radio buttons and all the other boring poll stuff. We're trying to make polls cool, basically.
Okay. But it's not just little widgets on websites. Like, you guys have done a lot of cool stuff with polling, right?
We've done a couple of things. Like, we have a SMS polling, which is like a text in your vote at live events kind of thing. So something like you could use it at a startup weekend and see, like, who the best startup is by texting in your vote. And you can see that happen live, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
We have the embedded stuff that you can put on your website. You can put your stuff on Tumblr right in the dashboard now, which is really cool. So we're the only polling service that does that right now, which is really neat.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Did Tumblr make that happen, or is that just utilizing their platform?
Just been a lot of work on both ends, I think.
Yes.
And then our Twitter poll stuff is pretty cool too, just because they're voting links. So you can ask a question on Twitter and you can just vote just by clicking the link. It casts your vote, which is neat.
I really like that from a user experience perspective. I don't have to click on a link to get to a place where I click on my response. Like, that, just here are the two responses, pick which one you want, and as soon as you click on it, it goes there and you can close it and be done if you want to. So
yeah,
Wedgies is really cool. So push that. Design Avengers, if you're in Vegas, just chat us up. There's no website for Design Avengers.
There's a horrible Facebook page.
And it's the signal to noise ratio is fantastic. Lots of noise. And once in a while, there's a, hey, should we meet up tonight? And then it goes back to a lot of noise. So, but that's another thing that I've actually really liked, that it's not a public-facing thing. It doesn't, Design Avengers isn't actively seeking participants. It's not like, hey, let's recruit more members. Mm. It's, if you're a friend, come hang out. If you're not, why are you here? Why do you want to? We're not that interesting. I don't know why you want to hang out with us, but... So yeah, so if you're ever in Vegas and you're a designer and you're a friend, you would be a friend if you're listening to the show, then come hang out. It's every Thursday, right?
Yep, every Thursday, 6 p.m.
6 p.m. So we've got Design Avengers, and then you are on Twitter at Mark Johnson CC.
Yep.
Because you're...
My name is so unique.
Yeah. And then markjohnson.cc, where he will have gifts and... someday his portfolio when he wants to apply for another job, he'll scramble. But then there's one other project that I wanted to mention before we kind of wrap it up. You did this GIF thing.
Oh, the GIF video thing?
The GIF video thing.
Yeah.
So what was that and why did you do it?
Because I'm a sick man.
Yeah.
I have this folder on my desktop called Fun, and it's just like a little icon of, like, I don't know, a scotch or something. I don't know. It just seems like a fun little icon. So I just throw GIFs in there whenever, forever. Like, I've just been doing it since I've been using the internet for the most part.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot of GIFs in there. It's a lot. It's a heavy folder. But I watched this video a couple years ago by... I think it's called like Skinamax or something on, what's it called? On Vimeo. I saw it.
Okay.
I don't remember how I found it, but it's like this cool, like, mixtape that has a video to it.
Okay.
And so it's like, they just mix random videos to this audio track that sounds really cool. And it's mainly like 80s, like Transformers and like Back to the Future clips and stuff like that. And so I thought that video was really cool. I was like, well, I've got all these GIFs. I might as well do something with them. And I made this, I took a GIF of my buddy Ray, and I just like made it look as bad as physically possible just because it was really funny. It was like his nostrils flaring or whatever. And okay. So he was just like, why do you have that? That's so weird. And I just like made it full screen, and I just love the little like dots that you can see, like just the way it looks.
The artifacts. And
yeah. And it's just been like a really cool thing. And I've just been into GIFs lately, like trying to break them, like throwing them into Sublime Text and like breaking the hex themselves and trying to see like what happens. And so I was like, well, let's just like put them all together and like just show those artifacts like super huge and try to put them together with this mixtape. Because the mixtapes that I listen to like all the time, like they're my working music 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
So.
And you find them on Spotify?
No.
No?
There's, the guy's name is Deez, I believe. I don't know if I'm saying that wrong. It means sharp, I believe, in French. He's like a French DJ.
Okay.
And so I found him through foobiz.net.
Okay.
He used to do these broadcasts on there. So I found all these broadcasts, and then he stopped doing them. And then all of a sudden, he started doing them again. I was like, he's my favorite, yes. And so I was like, well, I'll take this one, which I thought was going to be his last one, which is Foobiz Broadcast 54. And started making the thing to it, like putting all these gifts together just in my free time. And then I was like, gosh, this thing is 36 minutes. It's so long. But I have all these gifts. I had enough to put them all in there, and yeah, I categorized them. So
36 minutes of animated gifts to go along with the mixtape.
Yeah.
And we watched it when Design Avengers. That was awesome. So that's the level of interaction that we have sometimes. what is amazing is how it feels like it syncs up sometimes. And you're like, wow, Mark, you really put in some attention to detail to get that to sync up really nicely.
I tried on some. I mean, yeah, it's not like totally effortless. Like there's like I only edited like one part. Everything else was just like scaling the gifts up and like putting them in an order that sort of makes sense, maybe in like crazy mode.
Yeah.
But like there's only one, which is like this guy's like shaking his head when the like music is like repeating. It's like bad 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 bad, and it like kind of squishes the music together. And so like I made the GIF repeat faster and faster and faster and faster, and then like it blows out.
Okay.
So that's like the only edited part. Everything else is just stupid GIF after stupid GIF.
All right. So where can people watch this? Because they've got 36 minutes.
Oh. It's on YouTube. But under, yeah, just get on the internet and look for it.
Type in GIF.
No, I think on YouTube it's called GIF Mix 54. I think that's what it's called. I called it GIF Mix.
We'll put a link to it in the notes, so people can go in and spend their time doing that, because they should. Awesome. So that's it, Mark. We really appreciate you being a part of the show.
Thanks for having me.
And you are a vital part to Las Vegas and the design community here. And your stuff is really good. So
it's all right. Thank you, though.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the episode. So something quite out of the ordinary happened after I published the last episode of Web Friends. I actually listened to it. Now that might sound a little bit odd, but there is this part of me that can't stand listening to my own recorded voice. I hear all the uhs and the ums and my lame attempts at humor, but luckily I have an awesome wife who doesn't let me get away with stupid stuff like not ever listening to my own podcast. It was a little bit rough, right? It was a little hard to do, but it was so helpful to listen and discuss the work with someone I trusted. It's kind of the same way I am with my design and my development work. Some projects are so fast-paced, I never even get a chance to look back. And other projects seem like I'm salting the earth by the end, and nothing inspiring will ever grow from that soil again. And I suspect some of you feel the same way. But as your friend, I'm telling you to get over it and review your work. There are two real benefits. The first should be obvious. The best way to improve is to figure out where you are and where you want to go. And reviewing your work does just that. The second benefit is that you'll actually have a better appreciation for how far you're progressing and improving. Sometimes we're so busy doing and we forget how far we've come. Now, as you review your work, you might have a tendency to feel a bit depressed about things that you aren't proud of. But I hope you can avoid dwelling on that. You should focus your energy instead on how you will do it better in the future. So, next week, I'll be talking with Valhead, who just came back from Smashing Conf, where she did this awesome laser fireworks show with Seb Lee Delisle. Tune in live next Friday at noon Pacific at goodstuff.fm/live if you want to listen. Before I go, I want to thank our sponsors again, Media Temple and Campaign Monitor, and also my wife Jamie for reading them. I should mention our intro and outro music was a song called Seahorse Dreams by QB. And a big thanks to Good Stuff, the broadcast network, for helping make this podcast happen. And because of them, Web Friends is now in the iTunes store. So take a second to give us a rating there. You can find a link in webfriends.io. You can also follow us on Twitter at webfriends.io. And finally, thanks again to you for listening. You are awesome.